This episode of the Haunted Road Trip Show is brought to you by Studio One, Vazi Pilates. To claim your free gift now, check the show notes.
Welcome to the Haunted Road Trip Show, where we bring you powerful conversations, insights, and exciting site investigations that reveal the paranormal world in a way you've never seen before. Prepare to have your thirst for curiosity satisfied.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another fabulous episode of Haunted Road Trip Shows. Thank you for joining me for another journey in and out of this realm, that realm, and the other realm as well. And today I am shining. I am over the moon, and I have wanted this guest on. He has been on my bucket list since I started this show, and today we have him, ladies and gentlemen. Your favorite gay auntie. And if he's not now, he will be by the end of the show. We have Shining Nathan with us. And if you're familiar with TikTok, then you know his glorious content that he just tries to create. Fun, spooky, inclusive, entertaining content that just wants to lift you up and make you the better person that we know you are. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for such a fantastic introduction. Thank you so much. I'm very glad to be here.
Yes. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's help him get to that first goal of 1 million followers, because almost there.
Almost. I have been fighting the algorithm for over a year now, just trying to get there.
That's okay.
I want to see that 1M. That's all I want to do.
I have faith, and I know that we will get you there one way or another. You guys, thank you so much for being here. And you want to tell them a little bit? I don't even think you really know the synchronicity and how we actually met.
It was so synchronous. You go ahead, Tracy, please.
Okay, so just to let you know, we did meet at a haunted house.
Yeah, obviously.
So I was a guest at a paranormal fest here in San Antonio at Victoria's Black Swan Inn, and that day I just knew it was going to be a magical day. I had woken up and I just knew it. I felt it with every bone in my body. I'd been thinking about it for weeks, and me being the manifester and the synchronicator that I am, I'm like, okay, what would make this day just fabulous? And I knew that Nathan lived in the area, and I said, man, if I saw Nathan, oh my god, that would just fabulous too. On top of everything else that I was doing that day. And lo and behold, went there, you know, met a few other people that have become very, very crucial in my life, that were very synchronistic. And I'm sitting there talking to my new friends, and all of a sudden I look up and there, shining like the light is Nathan. And I was like, I remember I stopped in the conversation. I was like, ooh. Shining Nathan, I have to take my chance. Go. And like, I remember not even thinking about it, like just darting right up to you.
Yeah. And the funniest thing was that day I saw it. Me and a friend had visited the Black Swan Inn a few weeks prior, and it was dead. So we did a little shop, and then we're given a little thing to go, that we're having this big event. And I was like, okay. So I text some of the friends, like, let's go. And it was like last minute, other friends dropped out. It was kind of last minute, but not. But I was like, I want to go to this thing. And I was there. There were a few other people that recognized me. And then you came bolted up. I was like, oh my God. And like I tell people, if you see me, come up and say hi. But do be warned, if you see me in a tank top and shorts, be weary, because I probably just left the gym. So I am disgusted. But other than that, do not worry about approaching me. I'm very personable, and I love when, you know, I'm just a person. So feel free to say hi. Come get a hug.
Yes, I was just more nervous because I didn't want you to get scared because of me, my excitement of rushing. That, and I thought about that a little, you know, you think about those things like 2 seconds too late, right?
Well, you get, the funniest thing is I've gotten so used to the movement people make when they're coming at me for, you know, knowing me from TikTok. So my vision will automatically click, I know that movement.
They recognize me and they're trying to figure out how to make the approach, right?
Yeah, there's usually two, like they'll stay at the periphery of my vision, they'll just stay there, and it's like they know me. Or they'll start, I can see the movement of them wanting to come up and say hi, but it's that nervous come up and say hi, and so it's like I know that movement too. So I automatically have already picked up on the movement, because people who I know in everyday life automatically either, there's a couple that come up from behind me and pick me up, which they know pisses me off, and they find it funny, because I am short in real life. I'm 5'4". People always shock that I am 5'4". And then other friends just come up and say hi to me and give me a hug. And so I know the different movements, the people that have known me in everyday life versus the people that are nervous to meet me because they know me from TikTok.
Yes. I'm like, I'm one of those cats where I'm like, I'm not scared.
It was such a fun event. That was one of my favorite interactions that I've had at the Victoria Black Swan Inn, though I probably will not be going there for a little while. But that's fine.
Yeah, I mean those events there are absolutely fabulous. But I have you here because I mean, all things aside, you do some spooky content as well. You're okay.
Yeah,
macabre and the paranormal. It definitely.
Oh yeah.
You.
Oh yeah. It's been such a part of my life for all of my life, and. I have a macabre sense of humor on occasion. I haven't done some of the content that was heavily macabre, mainly because I went through a period, I think as all creators do, where you're just getting community guideline violations after community guideline violations. And so some of that content went to the wayside. And so I do miss it. I do it. I've kind of started doing it in another aspect, but like I have... My apartment is a mix of maximalist meets a little bit of goth meets a little bit of grandma comfy. Like that is everything in my apartment is secondhand and either antiqued or thrifted. And I like it. So the macabre has always been a part of just my life.
I thought let me find a haunting that's more local to us, because we're both we're both Central Texas, and let's talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And I found one that I was like, okay, Spirit, point me into one that would just be perfect for us to talk about and maybe needs to be heard in some kind of way. So have you ever heard of the Haunted Hill House in Mineral, Texas?
I've heard of it. I'm pretty sure I've heard the story, but I cannot remember it. I know Mineral, Texas and the Haunted Hill House, but I'm trying to remember which story it is.
There are so many, apparently.
There are tons of stories.
This house is like, it's a Victorian mansion that was built originally after the Civil War. It stands very close within the same block of the Baker Hotel.
Yeah.
And hot springs. There's hot springs and hidden caves. And apparently there's hot springs and hidden caves on the property. So of course, like, that's going to be like paranormal heaven to me.
Yeah. Especially with the Baker Hotel right there, because it had all those hot springs.
Oh, you should hear about this house and all kinds of things here.
Ooh, tell me.
So apparently two sisters owned it, and they wanted to get back to the community and help out a little bit. And they had their ins and outs. They made a makeshift hospital. It was a bootlegging operation for the Baker Hotel. So it was like, we don't have what you got, but down. Yeah, exactly. And they were making money off of that. And so it was also a, I guess we would call it a house of ill repute, or, you know, ladies of the night right there and entertain gentlemen that came into there. It has been a gambling establishment as well. So we have a lot of debauchery going on in this home. We have mystery murders. People have gone missing. Don't know where they went.
Oh, wow. I'm not even 100% sure this one.
I ain't seen him in a while. Where'd he go? Never see Billy again. You never see him again. There's, you know, and according to other accounts, there is a ghost of a little boy named, what was that name? I don't want to say it because I don't want to mess it up. And he was born disfigured.
Oh.
To one of the ladies of the night. Because apparently she was assaulted by apparently a family member, allegedly. Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she bore a disfigured child that they made her keep in the attic.
I've heard this.
And he, there's multiple reports if he succumbed to illness at the age of 6, or his mother is reported to be the ghost they call the Lady in Blue, who haunts the staircase, because the legend goes that the boy possibly acted up and one of the men in charge killed her while she was defending the child on the steps, and then killed the child, hid both bodies.
Oh my God. And so they never found both bodies.
And they're reported, allegedly, bloodstains still on the steps to this day from blacklight. So they surmise that she was either killed above or on the staircase, and her body was taken down the staircase, and from there, we don't know. But those two spirits haunt this area a lot. They have all kinds of voices on recordings called EVPs, orbs. They even have a room in this house called the Scratcher Room. I'm not going in there.
You just said the word scratcher. That already sounds bad.
I don't know about this.
People are like, oh, I want to own a haunted house. I'm like, you know what? I like peace, and it's already obviously occupied, so I am good.
I'd be a little crowded in here. I think I'm going to be in somewhere else.
It is already occupado. I am. Yo estoy bien. They already have, especially if it has a room called the Scratcher Room. Like, you know, I'm good. I'm good. You know, and I live in an apartment that is over 100 years old. And occasionally I thought it was haunted. Turns out that the flue system to the fireplaces still connects, even though the fireplaces don't work. So I was in my living room hearing voice. I was like, why am I hearing voices? It sounds like it's the room with me. Oh my God. And then I clicked. It was coming out of the fireplace because my downstairs neighbor. And I was scaring myself. I was like, damn it, Nathan.
At least you did some debunking, which is always, you know, always good to be able to go through. You know,
oh yeah.
I always like to say that could be your drunk neighbor. Okay. So
yeah, and it was. And because I was like, I'm hearing voices. Because it was in my living room, it's clear as day. And then it made me think, wait, if he, I can hear him through that flute. Ooh, the things he's probably, you know what? We're just going to, you know what? Let's just not think about it.
Exactly. Let's just go ahead and stop this. But yeah, they hear voices at this house constantly. They don't even allow children under the age of, I believe, 6 to come into the house.
Really?
And they give advisories to women who could possibly be pregnant or, yeah, like.
Oh, my God. Have there been stories of what happens to the children or the pregnant women before they, if they go in?
I don't know. I didn't, I just kind of, I try not to dig too deep because if I get the chance to investigate these places paranormally, I don't want to know too much about it.
Yeah.
But apparently this place is just like a steaming hotbed for paranormal activity because that water is a flow, is an energy for paranormal activity. And apparently there's caves on the property where bootleggers would hide their liquids, whatever, their apparently Native Americans used to hide in these caves and go there to heal for the waters after they had battles or if they were hiding out. So there's all kinds of energy here. This house. I'm fascinated by it.
It sounds so
investigate.
Because it's right close to the Baker Hotel, and I've known about the stories about the Baker Hotel and that whole area. Would I want to live on a property that has tons of caves on it? No.
No, I wouldn't either. I'd be like, no, that's a big fat no, next.
Yeah, no. Even the practical reasons of like, oh, a sinkhole could just swallow my house up because it was, no, I'm good. But like, the amount of just stuff that is there, because like, in the entire San Antonio area, because it has been a very bloody area, let's be honest. And like, because I've explored the ghost tracks, but we were not gumption enough to do the ghost tracks. We went and saw them. We're like, we're going to see it. We're going to look at it. And then later that night, we were still in a very kind of sneaky, not a spooky mood. And me and a friend, it was like at this point, 12:30 at night, and down the road from the ghost tracks is the old boys asylum that has been abandoned.
What?
And yeah, there's an old boys asylum down in South San Antonio. The problem is, A, it was 12:30 at night.
Right.
And there isn't a marker of where the asylum is. You have to, A, find the old map. Because the building itself still exists, and then find the correlating side street, the street that takes you to it. Now, we found the street, right? And it's not a street. If you're driving down the main road, you would miss it if you're not looking for it, because it's a dirt road at this point. So we found it, went down, and of course you see piles of what are, you could tell, homeless people have gone there, other people have dumped stuff there, but you keep going. And you start, there's trees, of course, covered the path, and you keep going.
Right.
And we made it to the certain point where we could tell that there's a building in the distance, but we could not tell because we had our lights on. But we could not tell if the road or a path still continued. And it was 12:30 at night, and we're like, we're not going to get out. We just wanted to see it.
I'm not getting out that far.
Because it's all, at this point, it's all tall grass, right? And so, like, we don't know it. And I look out the side of my side window, which I was avoiding doing because my fear is I look out, there's a face there. I look out, I was like, if we're going to back up, just back up straight back. He was like, what do you mean? It's like, there's just a drop off right here. Like there is no, there. It's just a drop off. Cause it's clearly like, it went from like a path, and then it was like, it clearly went over a creek. So it was just like a narrow little bridge.
Right.
And so on either side, there was a drop. The road was no road. So they just back up straight back because there's, we don't want to get this car stuck. And so it was like the energy vibe totally changed. Like the moment we went from where it was, you know, we're driving on a dirt road. Here's stuff around us to we are on going over this creek. It was like a significant shift. Like I started to say, I was like, we got to go. Cause I'm pretty adventurous. But it was like, we need to go. I need you to back straight up. Like just go straight back. And he was like, yeah, I'm not liking this. Cause we could see the building in the distance. And so, yeah, it exists. And we're pretty sure if we'd gone during the day, we would have probably gone in and looked at it. But it was the old boys' asylum. I think it shut down about the same time most asylums shut down. And so it's on the south side.
Wow. Yeah, everything in my Gen X body would have been like, we are not getting out of this car.
Yeah, no, we both, like, I was like, just reverse, just go straight back. Do not try to do, like, the three-point turn. You were not going to make it.
Like, I've seen Children of the Corn. I've seen...
Yeah, because it was so creepy. Like, because right in front of us, all you see is the tall, regular grass, and you're not sure what continues forward. There's no path. And on me on either side, it's like, that's clearly, like, a dry creek bed below us. But we would have to, like, figure out how to call AAA or something and be stuck here. Because out there, there's not much at a certain point on the south side. There's not much out there. And so even if you're within the 410 loop, there is not much. And no. We found this random bar that looked like it was pulled out of Dusk Till Dawn and plopped in a random half kind of industrial air, not even in fully industrial. Like there was a car parts store next to it, and then like a masonry kind of company on the other side of it. And then there was this, it looked like somebody had plopped a Dusk Till Dawn bar right there, because the door even was like it was covered in snakes, in like it was like a snake design. Yeah, and it was lit purple on the outside, and the door handles were snakes. I was like, oh, this is either going to be really good or really bad. Open the door, go in. Open the door, go in. And it was a whole different world. Everybody was super nice, super chill. They were doing karaoke. And they took time and effort to do the backsplash of the bar. They had specialty cocktails. So like, we had this, and it came in like this. And I was like, there was like 10, 5, 6 people there. And so we had a good time there. But I was like, this could either be our Dusk Till Dawn moment, or this could either or a really different dive bar. And so that's what it was.
Wow.
But all around San Antonio, there are these little nuggets of just, or big nuggets of paranormal activity. All right. Because San Antonio is a 300-year-old city. That's why I have to keep reminding people. It's like people are like, oh, Austin, San Antonio is 300 years old. She is the grandma of all of the major cities of Texas. She's old. And she don't care.
She is the crone.
She is. She really is.
And, you know, whenever you hear about hauntings, you hear mostly in the San Antonio area that are more well known down in that area because it's older. It's been, you know, settled for a lot longer time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dying to know. So did you ever say like, oh, my God, we got to go back here during the day? Or were you like seen enough?
I was like seen enough. I would go back during the day. I would just have to remember how to get there. Because I literally pulled up the stuff on the map, and you have to kind of like pinpoint. And then I went through like, I think it was either a Reddit page or an old like forum that told you it is on this road. It is at this intersection. This is the intersection you will find the right turn at. Instead of, because there's now only, if you're only driving, you will only see a left turn. But just right past that is a right turn. and it's not much. There's not much of a road left. It is a dirt road now, a gravel road, and you will find it. You turn right in there. So we had to go several times up and down this main road that isn't very populated at all. I think there was like one subdivision a little further down, and that was really it. And a church, like a new built church at the other side. But you had to look. So we had to go several times, like, I think that's it. And we finally were able to get it in the angle where we could see where this gravel road was. And we did it. And I'd have to like do the research again and find it, you know?
Well, maybe we'll have to take a real road trip one day, huh?
That would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. You would definitely want to wear, I would more than likely have to wear pants and roll up them socks and wear boots.
Well, springtime is right around the corner, so you never know. You never know.
Exactly.
I am known to like love to go and look at those locations in person and go for like an adventure. And if anybody knows anything about this place, go ahead and put it in the comments. Let us know
your
thoughts.
Because it was the old boys asylum on the south side of San Antonio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully some developer hasn't gotten to the land yet.
Hopefully. That was what happened. I hope it wasn't a developer that bought. There was this house that looked like the Adams Family house. I think it's on, not Hildebrand, but Magnolia or Woodlawn, on just past I-10. It was a house that looked, it was only on for $100,000, but it looked like an Adams Family house, and it was that old. And I was like, maybe I could buy it. Maybe I could muster up money to buy it. And somebody bought it, and I hope it wasn't a developer, because it did need a lot of love. It needed a lot of interior work. It needed a lot of labors of love for it, because it looked like the Adams Family house. Like,
I bet, though, if anybody was able to give it some love and invite the spirits of the past in there to help, it would be you.
Yeah, you know, I would, because it even had a turret. Like, oh, yeah, I was like, this made me want to own a home.
Yeah, it made you want to own a home, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, you know. I hope it was not. That's one of the big problems. Thank gosh that San Antonio does protect some of its older sites from developers, or incorporates the old into the new. That is one thing I do love about San Antonio versus like Houston, which tears everything down and builds new.
That's kind of. I think that's pretty similar around a lot of areas of Texas that I have seen. And maybe we can take a trip to this haunted hill house, because apparently the owners are very welcoming to curious people. They even have weddings there.
Really?
The weddings and ceremonies and all kinds of, they are just.
I love that.
I do like that too, but I wouldn't choose necessarily to get married there, because I wouldn't want this bootlegger coming up behind me and scratching.
Right? I'm like, what kind of blessing would I get at that type of venue? You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'd be like, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, that was one of the places that I was like, I have to talk to Nathan about.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, there are some really good haunts that are right around in our central Texas area. And I can't talk too much about them because I am in the filming season one of the streaming show for Haunted Road Trip show.
Yeah.
I don't want to give all the locations. I don't want to
give them out. It's okay. They're
away. But it's definitely going to be juicy, and it is. And maybe I'll give these people a call and say, can I have a guest come on and you know.
That would be wonderful.
I would love, yes, I would absolutely love. So you, I mean, when people watch you, they just know that you have that essence that you connect with people's spirits very, very easily. So have you, have you had connection with your loved ones that are in spirit through through messages, or do you communicate with that realm in any way?
I am technically a brujo, a curandero, not a brujo. I'm a curandero. Okay. So I have always been more attuned to spirits, like my mother is. Every generation gets one. My mom's generation was my mom. My grandmother's generation, it was my great aunt. And so I've done cleansings. I used to, when I did read tarot, I don't do it anymore. I used to use the spirits to help me read. I can read. I can tell what's going to happen. But I used to, when I was very young, used to invite the spirits to help me read. And yes, I did all the protections, but sometimes it was very quick and dirty. And so I've all been able to see the spirits. We used to have my mom's ex-boyfriend, his house was haunted by his grandmother. We knew it was his grandmother because we would see her.
Right.
We used to have, my mom would bring me along for cleansings because I think she kind of used me as a canary a little bit to kind of tell where the worst area was because I would get sick. We had a house in my hometown that the house was probably about 70 years old. And our cousin, we're pretty sure, had been beset by somebody who did not like her and had a lot of bad, mischievous spirits around her. And to the point where she would hear somebody. And there was this one room, it was her bedroom, where I got so sick. And so we started performing a cleansing to kind of just like, hey, just get on, type of thing in our type of practice. And it requires a crystal and all that. And when you burn the crystal, and the crystal would not burn. And then we heard a laugh come from the iron pot that we burned the crystal in. And so many other types of things. Like there was one where we knew my mother was under attack or being cursed by this bruja. Now, the difference between a curandero and a brujo, some people will have it dependent on people's practices. Some people get persnickety. But the way I was taught is a curandera or curandero heals. They're the healers. If you come to them and want, say, you want a better job, curandero will tip the scales better in your favor. May your boss see your goodness. May the person you're trying to get a job with see all how qualified you are. May they open their eyes. Like, it is very much, let's massage the thing. Where in brujeria, it is, you are going to get the thing.
Uh-oh.
You are forcing the scales to do the thing. And there are different iterations. Some people have their version of bruja and brujo. The wording means, I just a general magic purveyor. Where I was taught, it's the different how you use the magic. And one time we had a bruja on my mother. They performed a spell. They performed basically to break the curse type of thing. Right. And we heard, it was big. It was powerful. We heard her scream out of the fire and come to find out she woke up with third degree burns on her back and had to go to the hospital. And I've always been a part of this kind of, it's very much a part of our culture to have this, like we have the tales of La Llorona, the Lady in Black. We have so many of these tales that are both cautionary tales, but also that I feel that there's a big root of truth to a lot of them. La Cocuy, all these, La Chusa, all these tales are very macabre, but they're used in a way to both teach us a lesson, but also there's roots to truth in them.
Yes.
And so it's always been a part of my life. On occasion, like, I don't communicate with my grandmother or my aunts unless it's the Dia de los Muertos. And then it's more like a celebration of their life. Because for me, I want to let you live outside of here. Occasionally, I'll feel their presence, but I don't dabble in the spirit realm as much as I used to. After I did one unfortunate tarot reading, That story I will tell, and that was my own folly.
We'll have to see. Yeah, you'll definitely have to tell us that, because you are definitely a very good read of people. When we had long conversations, you are definitely all water, right?
You're yeah.
All water, and you feel, right?
Oh, yeah. I feel big. My entire chart, I am a Cancer. I feel everything. Yes. I know things before people, and people have patterns, and once you know somebody, you start knowing the how and all that. And when I did this tarot reading, I was not even 21. I was, I was 19. I'm 35 now. And I had been reading tarot. And before I'd have everybody who was there for me to read the tarot, I had them. Basically, they were providing the protection along with me while I invited the spirits out. And I would do a contract with the spirit while I was doing everything. And then I'd read the cards with a fair degree of accuracy. And there was this one girl who was being very Nessia. And I don't know the English translation, but she was being very persistent, annoyingly persistent. That she wanted. Huh?
We would say she was snotty.
She wanted her way. And so finally I was like, okay, I'm tired, but I'll do it. Let's do it. But I'm very tired. And so I was like, I need y'all. And I remember starting the process. And it was, I was like, basically, I went up to the spirit. I was like, anybody who wants to help me, just do it. Like, help me read this, the chick's cards. Whoever wants to come on, help. That's basically what I said. Just do it.
Uh-oh.
And then I do not remember any of the tarot read. I do not remember them leaving. But I woke up the next day to like, this is like, remember, this is before, like, I still had like a BlackBerry. And so I was like, I woke up to tons of text messages. My friends, I got back to class. I missed two classes, got to the university. My friend's like, what happened? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you told her, basically I said, you wanted this thing so bad that you manipulated and twisted it, but you're not going to keep it forever. You are going to lose that which you coveted and did what you did. And she had been dating this guy and she knew how to manipulate him and she did all the things. I was like, you're going to get your way. You're going to marry him, but it ain't going to be long. And she was like, it didn't really even sound like you. You were kind of just slack. And I was like, you're going to reap what you sow in this minute amount of years. This is what's going to happen. And he was just, and I made her cry because I was like going all into it. Sure enough, they divorced. She divorced. They divorced. And so he's now really happily married. But I evidently, after the tarot, I'd said some other things. And I was like, okay, get out. Leave. And they left and I went to bed evidently, and I didn't wake up till like 11 o'clock the next day.
Wow.
And all the things I told her have come to pass, because she'd been Nessia. I told her, you're gonna get what you wanted. And I think it was after that, it was like 7 months later they got married, because she forced him into marriage. And then I think it took 3 years after that or so that they finally got a divorce. I think less than that. But yeah.
You channeled for her. And you know, I tell people all the time when they get readings for me, like, I can't make dead people talk to you, and I can't make information go for your side. Like, I can't do that. Like, that's not what I'm here for. Wow. I think that's, you know, that's powerful.
It was. And I know that's within me. But after that, I was like, ha-ha. Because it was basically, I said, anybody who can get me to read this, come here. Whoever can. There was no contract. There was no, like anybody of good intent. Like, anybody that can help me. Who can help me tell these cards.
That sounds like that could have been a grandmother of yours coming through at that point.
You know, because my grandma
looked like somebody who like knew women like that.
Well, my great aunt, the way my great aunt would tell if you, because she was paid by companies to write out. She wasn't just paid by people. She was paid by companies to like, and she would scry. she would write. She would go into a trance and she would just start writing on this big sheet. I did not know this until my mom was like, this is how she does it. And she passed about a year or 2 years ago now, but that's how she would tell. That's how she would not tarot read, but read. Is she would close, she would go into this deep trance, as even for companies, and she would write out and dress, write and then interpret the writing and tell them, this is what's going to happen. This is what you need to do. This is what's going to go. She was very powerful. And it was to the point where the way it went is if you saw a mirror in her eye, she knew something you were hiding from the family, and there is something you are hiding from the people that are most close to you, and you need to tell it. And so that was, she was that. And it was very old. It was passed down from, so she was my grandmother's sister, and it was passed down from my great-grandmother. And that great-grandmother was from the great-great-aunt. So, yeah.
That's very much like that. That had to have been like from a woman who knew women like this that you called and she stepped up and was like.
It was a lot. And I just remember being so exhausted because I think I started the readings at about, by that time, it was about 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
When I started her reading. And then I didn't wake up till about noon, then 11 noon the next day. I missed two classes. And so it was like, I was exhausted. Okay.
Yeah. I tell people, if I'm reading all day, the next day, like, don't call me. Like,
yeah,
I have to have a whole day to recover. I love it. So you want to play a little game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Okay, let's play a game. Everybody loves this game. It's going to be called Book It or Book It. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to hope that the magic of sharing screens works. And
okay.
We're going to be transported.
Transport me.
We're going to be transported. Yes. To Instagram. For folks at home that aren't watching, you know, we're back to one of my favorite Instagram pages, Cheap Old Houses.
I love.
Yeah.
120,000?
Well, 131,000 in American, 120,000 in euros. We are in San Martino Sovella Marirosina.
Marirosina Abruzzi, Italy.
That's right. That's why we have Nathan here to translate for us. That is exactly right. And so we are at a mini maison with plaid floors on it.
Ooh.
So this is a three-story picturesque Italian, what we would call townhouse here.
I love it.
All of it. So let's explore inside and let's see. So you're going to We're going to have you tune on your seer, on your spidey senses here while we're taking a peek around. How about that?
Let's do it.
I would go in. From the looks of the outside, I sense dust and dirt, but I'm going in.
Yeah, I'm going in.
I'm going in.
It doesn't. It looks inviting. Doesn't seem to have any bad vibes on the outside.
Got a cute door.
Cute door. She
door.
Feels good.
Little confused.
Still, it doesn't know what her address is, but you know what? Still feels a little inviting. Like,
that's right. We're going to go. I love those archway doors.
Oh, look at that.
Yep. It's got potential.
I like that. It has a lot of potential. I would probably, you know, even with it being such an old school closed in staircase type of thing, it still feels inviting, you know?
Yes.
I think it's probably because of the light color with the green, that lighter green.
And it's like I hear footsteps of like young teenagers running up.
Yeah.
Steps.
There's, like, there, it doesn't feel gloom and doom. It feels like there's been life here and it wasn't a bad life, at least so far. Same thing.
They're a little
like,
ah.
Normally the stark quiet with the little would give you this ominous feeling, but the energy here still feels, you know, you know, life has been lived here, and it's been, I want to buy this place, though, not even that.
I am looking at this, like, I could see, like, families getting up and dancing in the spirits of children and their still being here.
Like, yeah.
And I love that it has the little kitchen and looking out towards the French doors that look outside. The bedroom, well, we're going to have
You would need to upgrade it, but it's just dingy. It don't feel bad. It just needs some love.
Yeah, the floor is a little bit confusing. But
you know, it's the teeny tiny bed. Such a teeny tiny bed.
Yeah. It does. It definitely does. Oh, I think I skipped one. Okay, yes.
Okay.
Still the flooring thing.
Yeah, you know.
Same room from the other side.
Okay. Okay. Huh. Interesting choices. I'm not mad at it, but still does not feel bad.
No.
It does not feel bad at all. 10 out of 10 still would buy.
10 out of 10. I would stay. The fireplace is weird with a log, big log in it. Right. This place is dying to be loved. Like, yeah. It is saying, we have your perfect energy here. Slap some new paint on here.
Give me, just kind of scrape off what's old, put some new, give me another purpose again, other than holding something.
Yeah, other than holding old memories. And then look
at, oh,
could you die for that? Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, that's the life, right?
And I love it.
I know. So let's do this. You want to look at one more?
Yeah, let's look at one more.
Okay.
Okay. I'll close my eyes.
This one. Hold on. And share this tab. Okay. I know. I said, okay, I'll take a look at you. Folks, we're back in Afton, New York, wherever that's at.
The energy is a shift. It's seen happy days, but it's seen melancholy days, is what I get from it. It's not welcoming, but it's also not inviting. That's what I feel.
Exactly. It says it's built in 1840, folks, located the center of downtown Afton, New York. 5 beds, 2.5 baths, 3,100 square feet. And you can come on here and read the whole entire listing. It is a creamy white two-story. I don't know the style of this home. But it very much, like, on the outside, when I looked at it right away, I was like, people have been sick in this house a lot for a long time, like had chronic lung diseases in this house.
It's probably because they had arsenic in the wallpaper.
It might have been.
If there's a green wall, we know why.
Exactly.
Okay.
We need some.
It needs love. I get very melancholy vibes. It's not bad. It's just melancholy. It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But very melancholy. Very melancholy. Not evil, not bad, just melancholy. I love it. I mean, it kind of reminds me of my current living room right now. My apartment was built in about 1913. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I like this home, but it does have that melancholy, lonely.
Mm-hmm. And it may also be that she hasn't been loved in a while. It's clear that she has not been loved in a very long time.
No. Somebody's
there. That's better. That's better. Look how pretty she feels now. You can tell she's stretching herself. But why the drop ceiling?
That's what I was looking at. I was like, that is just horrible. Like, they torture you.
I don't know that. Why the drop ceiling? I've seen that done in several places. Like, oh, we want to lower the ceiling. Like, don't put drop ceiling in it. It's like putting carpet over hardwood. Why the hell did you do that?
No.
But I can see, I see, I love the love to the hardwood. It's clearly, you can feel her stretching a little bit, trying to breathe. And look, she's designed her a time where you needed the natural light. That's why this bedroom right here has 4 windows in each bedroom, because you needed that light.
You still need natural light. I'm still.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
I love it. I would love the bathtub.
I would love the bathtub, but I had so many cool with the drop ceiling.
I know. Nobody wants a drop ceiling over them.
No.
Their bathing.
Oh, yeah. I'm corporate bathing. This is great.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it'd be like taking a bath at your office. Like,
Yeah. Like, no, absolutely not. Like, oh, that's so, that's such a bad choice.
That, yeah, I will. I'll take the, you know, my grandmother, all of my grandmother's houses had tubs like a lot.
Really? I love that.
I would.
I try to rent an apartment that had the clawfoot tub. My issue with the apartment was that it was too massive for it to not have had central air, because it was a bit, it's in the same area as where I currently live, a few blocks over, but it was such a massive apartment. Like, you would be shocked at how big it was. Like, you walk into the front door
and
they had windy, and it's like, but there's, you put a place that's this big with 12-foot, 13-foot ceilings, there's no way you're going to keep it climate controlled. There's no way you're going to keep it cold in the summer or warm in the winter. There's absolutely no way. Especially with the way how they were built with the massive windows, because this apartment had massive windows. I was like, oh, this would be a light bill nightmare. This one is better.
Yes.
But
oh,
I like that.
Look at that. I didn't even know I could do that.
I like that.
Everybody, I'm learning now. I don't know how to flip on the on and off the pages. This is how we do podcasting, y'all. We learn on the job.
You do. You really do. All the time.
I do, but I would not buy in Alton, New York. I would buy the Italy one, and that would
100% the Italy one. That would be worth it. I would not want, like, I don't know where Alton, New York is, but Italy wins hands down.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, yeah.
Give me a haunted house in Italy. I'll be fine with it. I'll deal with it.
And you can tell that it was haunted, but in a fun guarding way on.
Yeah.
That. So I could sit here and talk to you for another whole hour. Cause
same.
We just have so, I know. I will have to. I'm sure you're going to go on the list of must have back, and let's talk about, you know, at some point a real road trip and go check some things out together and have, you know, have some fun.
I would love that. Let's do it. We could do a joint episode. I have my Talking Tea talk show, which is just a talk show of everyday people. And I think that'd be fun to do a joint little thing. That'd be a lot of fun.
I will do that. You guys, if all the links to find Nathan and connect with him on his Patreon, on his TikTok, on his Facebook, you guys can find him in the notes wherever you're viewing this or watching this as well. I can't say enough good things about Nathan as a person, as a shining big bag of sunshine. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. All right.
Please do. Thank you. And thank you, Tracy.
Yes.
Remember to visit our website at hauntedroadtripsshow.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. We look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, paranormal history is dying to be heard.